Now, you might know him as the bad boy from the legendary drama Love Hate, and currently another baddie playing Kieran Holloway on Fair City. But it's not all about being the scary one. There's also room for fun and spreading some joy. And joining me now to tell me about his plan to do so in the Panto in the National Stadium in Dublin in December is acclaimed actor Johnny Ward. Johnny, how are you getting on?
I'm brilliant after that intro. My goodness me, my head has gone this big. Fox, how are you doing? Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted to have you here this morning.
I'm delighted to be here.
Look, we are obviously, you've done so much, right? And we're coming into that time of year as well. And Panto brings so much joy to so many people's lives. But I was really surprised to hear what a young age you started Panto at.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So my first Panto would have actually been with Alan Hughes and Carl Broderick, their very first Panto, which was Jack and the Beanstalk in St. Anthony's Theatre. That would have been 1998. And last year, they kind of did a 25-year anniversary special where they did Jack and the Beanstalk. Now, I played the baddie Baron Seymour Crawley last year, but 25 years ago, myself and four other lads were in a Boys Own tribute band because we were called Boys Only. And we were the real deal at the time. Boys Own were the thing at the time. And I was Stephen Gately in the Boys Own tribute band.
Oh, no way.
And do you know, for your information, do you know who was Ronan Keating?
Who?
Stephen Garrigan from Codaline.
From Codaline. Oh my God, stop it.
Yes, yes.
It's like you were meant for this.
I was deadly. It was brilliant.
Sorry, that's so much fun. What would you have been, like 9 at that time?
Three, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
nine or ten, yeah.
Yeah, 9 or 10.
Mental.
God, that had to have been so exciting to be that age.
So, so exciting. But do you know what? There is something, it's just the beauty of Carl Broderick's writing. You know, who created these characters like Sammy Sausages and Buffy. And 25 years later, their household names, they just attract audience from all over the country. It doesn't matter if you are 3 or 93, there is something about their Panto that's just magnetising for people of all ages. And I suppose in this day and age as well, it's very rare and seldom that you can get, you know, families all enjoying the same thing. You go to the cinema, kids are enjoying, let's say, Peter Rabbit, the parents are on their phones, right? And then vice versa for adult events, whatever. But there is something. I love when the dads come in because it's like, oh, it's a forced Panto. I'm not going to sit down the back and all. And the wife and the kids, they're getting involved. But by the end of the show, they're up on the stage dancing to S Club 7.
Well, I mean, this is the best part because Panto is built for across the ages. So there are jokes in there for adults to get and they go right over the kids' head as well, which is fantastic. But like talking about you from, and I'll move on from this in a second, but you being such a young age doing Panto at 9, like if you look at the kids that are in the Panto with you now and are dreaming of like a life in like acting or singing, and something like that. This is so huge and it's so exciting and it's great to watch you do a full circle moment and all the work that you've done to be like, oh my God, yeah, I could be exactly like that.
It really is. But also, you know, it's just everything that you said, 100%, completely agree. It's just what Alan Hughes as Sammy Sausages and Rob Murphy as Buffy. Alan Hughes and Rob Murphy, they're just this iconic platform now that the kids and parents, they go every single year. Yeah. They're magnetised to the two of them. The energy, the power, the magic that they bring is just phenomenal. And you're talking about kids. We were doing Aladdin in the National Stadium 2 years ago and I just remember one of the kids, she just couldn't control herself. There was Emma Warren, she was playing Jasmine, and she just got up out of her chair and walked up. And her parents didn't even notice because they were so engrossed in the show, the laughter and the comedy. And they just got up and they went over to Jasmine and they just said, she just said, it's really you, isn't it?
Oh, stop it.
And Alan, so Sammy Sausage just stopped the show and he goes, are you all right there? And she goes, is this a dream? And Alan just went, pure improv, and he goes, it's your dream come true. And our whole Christmas and year was made in that. And that's what it's all about.
That'll tell me over the edge, I wouldn't be able to stop
now,
crying.
Now, I've got nothing to do with the magic.
No, absolutely not.
I love to wind up the crowd and get booed and all that kind of stuff as well.
Well,
so
I
that's
mean,
what I mean,
you know, you stick to your strengths, right?
People hate you, so stick to it.
Hate your characters, it's fantastic. You are playing Gaston, right?
In
that's
Beauty
and the Beast.
Oh, yes, it is.
Sammy and
Laura Fox, you better come along with all the crew here at 2FM.
Honest to God, it's a bit too much. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Gaston.
So Gaston is the guy everyone loves to hate, but all the girls love him.
Yeah.
He's handsome, he's charming. He's good looking, but I think he thinks he's a lot better looking than what he is. And his main priority is to make Belle his wife.
His wife.
Yeah. And you know what? On that note, Laura, we've got a phenomenal cast this year. Susan McFadden, who I've always been such a fan of, She's going to be playing the fairy. We've also got Niall Sheehy. He's going to be playing the beast, fresh out of like Miss Saigon and Les Miserables. So just super excited.
So Panto, okay, big and exciting. And I know you're playing Gaston and, you know, it's kind of the bad boy of Panto as well. But it is a far cry from the bad boys that you're used to playing. And let's talk about Kieran Holloway in Fair City. Because what was it like to bring that character back? And people were very shocked and they were very excited all the same.
It was amazing. It was brilliant. Do you know what they... At the moment, I mean, when you go into a room with Bridgie De Courcy and she's talking about, okay, this guy is he's a normal mechanic, that's it. Mm-hmm. And then about 8 months later, you find out that he's got a dark secret. He intends to kidnap a girl, stick her in a box for a year and a half, Katie O'Brien, and then...
That was a great story, then.
It went on for a bit, but my God, they knew what they were doing. The ratings were going up and people that don't usually tune into Fair City were watching it.
I was straight back into it again. I was like, oh God, this is...
But there were people...
Where are you still there?
I remember Christy Dignam, love him. I remember him saying, you know, we met him after the thing and he goes, no, I don't watch Fair City myself, but it was passing by RTE. I was going to go in a free doc air myself, you know. No, it's gone on too long. And just getting that kind of response was amazing. So I did, at the start, I thought I was dead. Yeah. But then I came back for like the 30 year anniversary special. He wasn't dead. He swam ashore. And then we found out, ironically, the reason why he kidnapped all these people was because, in revenge, because of what they did to his sister, particularly Emmett O'Brien.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, ironically, I kind of stabbed my sister. And that's why I'm in jail now. Fair. But they took it back for the 35-year anniversary special. They did a prison special and it was incredible.
You stay coming back?
I'd go back again tomorrow. Back. I really would. Nah, I love it. It's a brilliant show. And I'm
Talk to
be
me about the main differences, though, between doing Panto and doing telly. Like, there has to be loads.
Well, if I went onto Fair City and I was like, hello, Katie, I'm going to be kidnapping you today. And no, it's do you know what it is? It's an intense pressure. Right, first of all, and this is what I say to the students that I teach as well. The majority of the stuff that we do, like if we're teaching, it is off our stage. But for TV, it's just to try and do it and contain that energy and put it in your face and your eyes and just not act.
Yeah.
It's what I do. Just kind of write down little emotions and highlight, okay, right, this is supposed to be a sad moment. So what will I think about sad? What am I going to think of it? I think of something that's, you know, genuinely sad in my life and then kind of portray that emotion that way. Whereas in Panto, it's just...
Caricatures. Right,
really caricature.
Really like overexerting.
And wind the audience up as much as possible.
Bit
that's
of crack.
What I loved. And yeah.
Like Panto, like it, as fun as it is definitely very physical. And you're doing two shows a day. Like that has to be a lot and it has to be intense because some of those shows are like 11 o'clock in the morning and then 6 o'clock in the evening. So like, what do you do in between? Or do you just get yourself prepped, just get a bit of food and knock back into it again?
Pretty much, yeah. And where it is in the National Stadium, because I'm in Walkinstown just down the road, I get
Steph,
to go
Karen
home.
Mullen, Jesus. You'd be on the Walkinstown roundabout as well now.
Yeah, yeah, but it is. It's just, of course. Carl, myself and Carl are like childhood friends. I know exactly, Perrystown. But it is. It's just down the road. But it is, it can be intense. I've been saying it for years. Mm. How have they not made a documentary behind the scenes of a Panto? It would be incredible. Just
Here's
even
the
like
plug.
This little 6-part series. Ah, it'd be hilarious, like, you know, because you'd be there and you get like, hi, yeah, no, I can make that meeting. Yeah, that's brilliant. All right, I have to go back. Oh, all right, I'm sorry to hear that. All right, okay, bye bye. Anyway, and you're just like back up on the stage again, you know, it's crazy. And then you get so tired as well. And, you know, you'd see, you know, Alan or Rob, and we all get so tired. You're coming on, it was like, okay, oh, that's right, boys and girls. And then at stage, after like, oh my God, I'm absolutely shattered, you know? But yeah.
It's a good sign, though, too, because it means you're literally leaving everything on the stage behind you.
Definitely.
You're doing all that you can. You need a bit of a lie down and it's good to go.
But you know what? Even it doesn't matter how sick you are or how, you know, tired you are. When you see the kids coming in for the 11 o'clock shows and they shout up whatever they want. That's what I love about this Panto. We actually encourage kids to shout up and say what they want and to participate because they potentially can change the ending of the whole show. Only last year we were doing Jack and the Beanstalk. I was Baron Seymour Crawley. There was Jack, so it was his girlfriend Jill, and one of the kids just shouted up during the thing, why don't you put her in a box, Kieran? So it was just like, and it just laughed. And everyone, all their teachers laughed, and we encourage all that.
I've so many more questions, but like, especially over the Christmas break, do you get a normal Christmas or are you just, you know, like, are you just working Panto and then sleeping in between?
No, I've never had I had a normal Christmas in 2015. I was contracted to do this thing for Fox TV. And part of the contract was, in case it took off, which it didn't, you couldn't take on any work. And I remember just sitting there and going to all the Pantos, because it's all I really know as a kid. You know, my parents would have brought me to all the pantos, you name it, and particularly this one. That's why I'm so blessed to be a part of it again. Alan Hughes and Carl Broderick's one. You know, you'd be watching it, but no, it's not normality unless I'm
unless you're working.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
That's what your Christmas is, in the same way that people do, like, you know, their Christmas swim, their Christmas run, or they're like staying in their pajamas all day. It's like yours is working.
And well, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day we have off, but all the rest of it. Yeah, and it feels very strange when you're not, you know, that kind of way.
I made the mistake last year of I went out to Galway too early, because every other year I've been working right up to Christmas Eve, so I'd work here Christmas Eve and then I'd boot straight down. And then, you know, my granny's always like, you never spend enough time, you know, and you're always going back up again for work on Stephen's Day. So I went down on the 20th last year. Never again. I was like,
I actually hate Galway.
Everyone was getting really irritable with me because I was around too much, and then they were like, oh, small doses with this one. That's
I know. And as well, do you find, like, when you're, you know, like your radio voice and stuff like that, do you find, because you're doing that so much, that you're talking like that in front of your friends? Because that's what my friends say to me as well. Like, why are you talking like that? I was like, I don't know what you mean.
I think I talk the same way in real life as I do on air, so like that helps. But if I was going around with the panto voice on air, we'd want to be a bit worried.
Yeah, they tell me to calm down.
Johnny, I know that you've got Fair City on the go. You know, panto, is there anything else in the pipeline that you can share with us today?
Yeah, do you know what? Recently I've been asked to be an ambassador for a very worthy cause. It's an incredible partnership set up by Lidl Ireland and Family Carers Ireland. And it's to promote and raise as much awareness for an awful lot of Ireland's unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about those who find themselves in a family care position. Statistics recently were shown that there are 500,000 carers nationwide. Mm-hmm. And we know that figure is an awful lot lower than the actual amount. That is due to a lack of self-identification, because the ability to self-identify as a carer is still a significant challenge for so many people. So,
well, people take it on because it's always a loved one, you know, in their life.
I think you
do it because you love that person.
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't recognise it as like a job.
But there's
or a
also
title.
This like imposter syndrome to call yourself a carer. Mm. So statistics have shown recently that there's actually 1 in 5 of all Lidl employees expect to find themselves in a care position by the year 2030. So Lidl have partnered up with Family Carers Ireland, and the goal is to reach €1 million within the next 3 years. You can donate as of today in any Lidl store, or nominate a carer of your choice to take part in the Lidl Trolley Dash.
Oh, amazing.
And in the meantime, it's great to know that they are currently recruiting and training more than 200 colleagues to get behind this fantastic partnership. So check it out on the online on Lidl, and I'll be talking about it soon.
So Johnny, you'll be talking about it. You can donate on Lidl, but you can donate in when you're doing your shop as well.
Absolutely. And overall, it's, you know, hopefully what they're going to do is create an incredible platform for so many people, a platform full of answers and options for so many carers out there.
Amazing stuff altogether. Johnny, thank you so much for coming in to us today. I mean, I'm not as scared of you anymore. Gaston can stay as long as you would like.
Yes, that's right.
And if you would like to see Johnny playing Gaston in the fabulous panto of Beauty and the Beast, Sammy and Buffy Adventure, it is running from December 10th right through to January 5th at the National Stadium in Dublin. Tickets are available now from panto.ie. Johnny, thank you so much.
Laura Fox, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. 2FM.